go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
It is the high point of our week. It is our visit with Andy McCarthy, the former federal prosecutor turned pundit extraordinaire, author, best-selling author on multiple counts, including notably for his books Willful Blindness and The Grand Jihad. Very much the topic of the moment. Andy is, of course, a columnist with the National Review Online and PJ Media and an active contributor to the national security debate in any number of other ways, including, I'm very pleased to say, in the course of tomorrow's Defeat Jihad Summit that the Center for Security Policy will be sponsoring here in Washington. Andy, it'll be good to see you there. It's great to talk with you today. Welcome back.
Frank, great to be with you.
Okay, Andy, let's do a little stock taking on sort of the leitmotif of much of your writing, both in the periodic journals and, of course, in your books. The Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration is spending, even now, it seems, quite a considerable amount of time with these guys, both of the Egyptian strain, the mothership, and the domestic versions. What is going on and to what end?
Well, I think, Frank, that the administration at a very early point decided that it was going to basically put its chips on the Muslim Brotherhood as a leading Islamist group, as the instantiation of the Obama view that quote-unquote moderate Islamists and making friends with them, making common cause with them, is the key to stability in the Middle East. And even though that strategy has blown up, I think the president is too invested in it to abandon it. So at a point in time where the countries like Egypt, for example, that know the Muslim Brotherhood best and have to deal with them and have to deal with the fallout of their disastrous tenure in Egypt, at a point in time where those countries are actually banning the Muslim Brotherhood, I think Obama is very publicly demonstrating that he still is in the Muslim Brotherhood's corner. And that, I think, is to ill effect. It certainly complicates, if not severely damages, our capacity to have good relations with Egypt, which I think to most sensible people, the new regime in Egypt, which is trying to promote a version of Islamic pluralism and pro-Westernism, that ought to be the ticket for us. It ought to be the way we're going. Obama is unfortunately going in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah. What if you were President al-Sisi of Egypt, Andy, for a moment, would you make of what happened, of the State Department hosting a delegation of people who have explicitly called for his assassination, namely Egyptian Muslim Brothers, who after the meeting both crowed about it, of course, with a State Department emblem in the background as they gave the four-finger salute of the Brotherhood, and then proceeded to put forth a declaration that they were engaged in, quote, a long and uncompromising jihad, unquote, in which they prayed for martyrdom with the purpose of being to drive out of Egypt the foreign tourists, the foreign businesses, other foreign personnel, and to topple, of course, the al-Sisi government itself. Would this not be considered the height of unfriendly American policy?
Yeah, Frank, I think you'd have to, if you were a sensible country, regard that as a form of aiding and abetting your enemies. And you know,
material support, as you call it.
I was going to say, you know, I mean, we in our country have for years taken great offense at the fact that the regime in Iran aids and abets anti-American terrorist organizations. And here we have the regime in Washington, unfortunately, aiding, abetting, and comforting people who are not just, you know, in the abstract, explicit, concrete enemies that are trying to destroy the regime.
And make no bones about it.
I don't see what's different between what the Obama administration is doing with the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't see how it differs with what the, for example, the Iranians have done in the past with al-Qaeda, with the Taliban, with Hezbollah, and with other terrorist organizations that oppose the United States.
And oh, by the way, as Michael Duran has just documented in some 9,000 words at the Mosaic publication, the president is determined to help those same Iranians not just get the bomb, but apparently become the new hegemons in the region. If it were not so strategically portentous and dangerous to us, not just to our friends and allies over there, but to us, this would be hysterical. But I'm afraid it is so dangerous. Andy, speaking of hysterical, you described that it really could be reduced to parody. The president's new national security strategy emphasizes strategic patience. What exactly do you think that means? And as a friend of mine said, you know, you can kind of have a run off the clock strategy if you're winning. But if you're not winning, it is a formula for losing big time.
Well, that assumes that Obama's idea of winning and ours are the same. And, you know, when you got a guy who's too often playing for the other team, that's not apt to be the case. I think what strategic patience seems to mean, that Obama knows that he's not going to bring the country around to his point of view with respect to Islamists. So I think strategic patience is you sit on your hands while they, you know, advance their agendas by leaps and bounds, and you rationalize that doing nothing is actually a strategy. And maybe actually it is a strategy, but I don't think it's
not in our interest.
Not a strategy that would be viewed as such by people whose first concern is the national security of the United States.
Or sworn duty, you know, their oath of office, for example, as you've pointed out, with faithless execution.
Yeah, I think we just have to accept that this guy has a very different idea of what his sworn duty is.
Yeah, well, this is a subject for further conversations, and we look forward to them next week. But in the meantime, Andy, let me just address one more issue that you have focused on. After, speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, meeting with senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood's operations in the United States last week, the president was off to the National Prayer Breakfast and engaged in what you've, I think, quite rightly described as moral, insipid moral equivalence. Give us a sense of what not just is insipid about this statement he made about Christians and Crusades and Inquisition and so on, but what it's the interpretation of these kinds of remarks and this kind of conduct by these Islamic supremacist enemies of ours.
Well, Frank, I think that they know that it's open season on the United States, the West, and people who used to be regarded as friends of America that we would go to the mat to protect. You know, we could go into great detail about the distinction between, as Obama said, people who killed in the name of Christ, who are actually doing that in contravention of Christian doctrine, to keep people killed in the name of Islam, who are doing it under a mainstream interpretation of Islam. And we could go chapter and verse through that. But I think a more narrow and succinct description of what's going on here is for Obama to say that the second set of killings in Paris at the Hyperkotcher Jewish supermarket was a random act by a terrorist who happened to be a Muslim, when not only theologically, but by the guy's own account, he specifically targeted Jews, as Islamic supremacists have done through the centuries, and certainly with great zeal in modern times. For the president of the United States to get up and say that that was a random attack, as if it could have been just anybody, and it happened that Jews ended up getting caught in the net, goes to show that we're just living in a very dangerous time under an ideologue whose mythology is controlling his actions rather than the facts on the ground.
Well, a closing and parting thought. I worry that it is actually his submission as much as it is his ideology, and that, as you know so well, Andy McCarthy, that is the go code for these jihadists, if they see infidels, as submitting to double down on their violence and efforts to impose Sharia on all of us. Andy, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much, as always, for your time and your expertise, the work you do at National View Online and PJ Media and so much else. Keep it up, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week. We'll look forward to talking to the rest of you again after the summit tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.